Taking the time to arrange your personal finances now is a gift to your family for the future. Here's Lisa Hagenauer.
That stewardship portion and that taking care of your family and that family unit and preserving that relationship, those are the two paramount things that you're really trying to do. And that's why it's such a gift to do it.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss-Walkemuth, co-author of True Woman 201, for August 23rd, 2018. All this week, Nancy has been addressing why you should be a wise steward of the resources God has entrusted to you. Not only will your family reap the benefits, but it's also a way to honor the Lord in all you do. If you missed a previous program in the series, you can go to reviveourhearts.com to listen to the audio or read the transcript. Now, Nancy's here to continue the conversation, along with her friend, Karen Melby.
Well, I'm so thankful for this discussion that we've been having this week with my longtime friend, Karen Melby, who's been widowed within the last couple of years and is carrying on without her precious Scott, who, by the way, was a member of the advisory board of Revive Our Hearts. Mm-hmm. And Karen, I can remember us, the three of us, sitting on the back porch at your home at Maranatha Conference Center, talking about the ministry. You guys loved Revive Our Hearts. You were such encouragers to me, and you guys would always ask great questions about how my own soul was doing, how the ministry was going, how you could encourage us. And even as we're sitting here, I can just picture Scott in those board meetings with us and being such a gift and an encourager. And in the Lord's providence, we can't figure it out. Mm-hmm. We don't know why. But the Lord took him after a long, hard battle with leukemia, age 56. You were 53. And yet God has graced you in amazing ways during that journey and since to carry on. And not just collapsing in a heap of futility and overwhelmedness, if that's a word, but with grace, leading your family. You've got two kids getting married, you've got grandkids coming now, and moving on and serving the Lord as you and Scott did together. It's been a really sweet, sad thing to watch you guys go through this, but really sweet to see God be a husband to this widow, as he promised to be. So you've been a part of this conversation, and I'm so grateful for that. And then Lisa and Andrea, who have professional backgrounds, Lisa as an estate planning and probate attorney, Andrea as a financial advisor. And for some of us, like people who don't come from those backgrounds, it can sound really complicated, really difficult. But I want to say how grateful I am and what a gift it is to have believers who care about God's values, kingdom values, and who make yourselves available to serve people like me who don't know these fields to help us be better prepared to carry on, because death is coming. We don't know when. We don't know who will go first. There's a lot we can't plan, but we can at least have some things in place that will leave less devastation to those who are left behind and can bring peace of mind in the meantime. So today we want to talk about, which Andrea and Lisa, you guys have said, are three really big things you want to be sure you have in place. And Andrea, you said when people come to you for financial planning help, you kind of start the dialogue by saying, do you have these things in place? And then you find out what they still need.
Absolutely. There's a lot that we try and determine when we meet with clients early on. But among the questions that we have for them is, what is your estate plan? And really what I mean by that is, do you have a will, and do you have those people in place to help make decisions when you cannot? And those are documents that are done and drafted often by an estate planning attorney. And they're very specific documents. They are legal documents. They have to be drafted. Mm-hmm. And so I need to know, those elements.
So there's the will or the trust.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of one. And these all interrelate.
Correct.
So they blend in together. But the will or the trust, which needs an estate attorney, or if it's very, very simple, in some cases that could be done online. And online you can find out information about what you really need depending on the complexity of your situation. But then there are a couple of power of attorney situations that, and tell us what those are, and then let's unpack what they mean.
Yeah. And to your point, Nancy, too, on the will and talking about doing it online, it's so much better to have something rather than nothing.
Yeah.
So I really encourage people, if you say, I can't afford it, there's resources out there. Start with your church. See, you know, what you can get done. People are willing to help.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel like you can't and you don't have that ability, then going online and having something in place is definitely better than nothing.
Yeah.
So I think that's important to know. But those, yeah, are the three basic things that we do for most of our clients is a will or a trust or some variance in between. And
when you say just a real simple statement here, a will or a trust,
yeah,
what's going to be the basic difference there?
The basic difference is going to be a trust, you can control more. A trust is, gives some power also during life. Where you can take care of yourself and others can take care of you during life, where a will really doesn't kick in until after you've passed away. But the trust allows you to provide more details, you know, when people get things, how they get it, you know, do different types of tax planning or charitable planning over time. If you have special needs kids or you have someone who has something else you're trying to protect against, then you can control it more. With a will, basically, it just when you pass away, it says, here's where everything goes. It goes to those people, and whether they're able to accept it or not, whether they're able to manage it or not, all of it just gets distributed outright at the age of 18.
So here's where an estate planning attorney can help you think what would best serve your needs and those of your family situation.
Right, exactly. With that simple will, again, if you have any special circumstances, it doesn't really fit. You know, a lot of times if you have minor kids and they receive an inheritance, it has to go through the court process through a separate conservatorship where the court manages it until they're 18. So all of those types of things, minor children being a very common situation where a simple will won't help people. There's variants of the of a will, more complex will, that might take care of them. But that's where it's important to ask those questions.
Mm-hmm. And then the second area, talk about the healthcare power of attorney.
Yeah.
What does that mean? What does that involve?
Right. A healthcare power of attorney is a document that we designate a person for you that's going to make decisions, medical decisions for you, if you can't speak for yourself or if you can't communicate them for yourself.
And this is really important today where we have so many technological means of preserving life longer than would have been possible,
right.
And tough decisions, ethically difficult decisions, medically complicated decisions
mm-hmm.
that you may not be in a position to make for yourself.
Right.
So when you appoint a healthcare power of attorney, this person is going to do what?
This person is going to be charged with the duty and the right of collecting all of that information from doctors and medical records and varying opinions, knowing what your desires are and your spiritual and you know your desires for life-sustaining treatment, and then weigh the benefits and the burdens of the proposed treatment and then make that decision. And
so
they
that person,
get that final say.
That person might be your mate.
It might be.
Mm-hmm. And is that what you and Scott did,
mm-hmm.
Karen?
Yes, we did actually have that in place, thankfully.
Yeah.
So when Scott got sick, were you his healthcare POA?
Yes, I was.
So he knew that there was someone who would have the authority legally to make decisions if he wasn't able to make them for himself.
We actually experienced witnessing on several occasions in the hospital, there were Scott's neighbors, patients that were down the hall that did not have a medical power of attorney in place. And the hospital was able to provide something. I don't know what kind of a document it was.
Mm-hmm.
But because we had been there so long and we were so familiar with the hospital staff, they would often call me or one of my children down because they needed another witness. And, you know, I mean, you could wait till the last minute and do that in the hospital, but it was awkward, I think, for this family not knowing what was happening, and they had to appoint somebody. And then our family walks in as complete strangers,
right,
to just be a witness on a document into their hospital room. It's just, it's very uncomfortable and it's, you know.
And having to make that kind of decision when you're super stressed,
yes,
and stretched.
Right.
How much harder is that?
So much harder. And that is a form, by the way, that hospitals will provide, you know, assuming you have that time and you want to be making that decision at that time. Or you can go online and typically find the statutory form by just doing a Google search and fill that out on your own. It's something that isn't, you know, it's something that you can easily
so
complete on your own.
So if you're a believer, a follower of Christ, you want to make sure that this person shares your heart, your values, and it's somebody that you're comfortable talking with in advance,
right,
where possible, so they know what, obviously if you're husband and wife, you're going to be discussing this with each other, but if you're maybe a widow and don't have a mate to be that person, it might be a mature son or daughter,
right,
or a close friend, but it seems like you would really want to make sure that they value life and have a perspective on life and death and suffering, and that would be compatible with yours. Because you can't say exactly every possible situation,
right,
in advance.
It's impossible to actually know what will occur. So they have to know you well and your desires. They have to be willing to act on those, because potentially they might be have different viewpoints.
So they have to be trusted.
They have to be trusted to be able to make those hard decisions, and capable. You know, not every person, you know,
sure,
some, you might have a person, oh, for financial things, you know, this person. But that doesn't mean they would actually be the appropriate person for medical decisions. I have so many people who will say, well, I'm going to put my spouse and then my kids in order of birth, you know, which is kind of what people just assume they should do.
But not necessarily.
And then you think, well, John may be your oldest, but is he the one most capable of making that decision? And oftentimes it's, you know, it doesn't follow in birth order. So it's important to consider the characteristics of the person you're
choosing.
Their
giftedness.
And their availability. Mm-hmm. And, you know, will they be able to be reached? And can they take that pressure and consider, because they'll have other people giving them their opinions. But it's so important to have that one person that you can go to after all of the discussion. No one's an island. You know, the family,
yeah,
will be discussing things, but they can say, okay, here's what we're going to do. Because there are a lot of situations we don't anticipate where people differ on opinions, differ on their level of spirituality, differ on whether they're able to let you go. You know, so
yeah,
oftentimes, you know, that's something to consider as well. So it's a really
now, along with that person who has the medical or healthcare power of attorney, a kind of a cousin to that is you need to be thinking about what some people call advance directives. How would you explain what that is, basically?
Yeah, so an advance directive is a document where you can indicate specifically what treatment you want or don't want. And for those people who are in a certain situation where, you know, perhaps they are terminal, or they know they have some more information about an illness, that can be a helpful document. For people who are healthy, completing the documents, it's a little bit of a difficult thing, because it's hard to say, you know, no, I don't want CPR, or, you know, because you can't anticipate the situation.
So are you saying healthy people don't need to have an advance directive?
I would say healthy people only do the healthcare power of attorney, which,
okay,
is the patient advocate designation, where you're saying, if I can't choose or if I can't communicate my decision, I want this person.
Got it.
And, you know, have a successor, because that person
may not be available.
Mm-hmm. So it's nice to have at least one successor that says, I trust them to weigh all the information and make a decision that's best. And we give some guidance, you know, usually in the document that can be personalized, you know, consider my suffering. Are you just prolonging the inevitable, mm-hmm, or do I have a really good chance of recovery? You know, all of those types of things that you would want someone to consider.
Yeah.
And everyone's a little different on that. You know, most of us come down around the same, but there are varying opinions and desires, and you want your desires to be honored, and you don't want the family unit to break down in the process. And when you have,
right,
you know, too many chefs in the kitchen, I mean, unfortunately, with something so emotional, it's really hard.
And the way that modern medicine or modern popular opinion,
right,
or thinks about these things may be very different than how you as a follower of Christ think about these things.
Absolutely.
So I've been reading some recently, and again, it's a little bit of another subject here, but about a Christian perspective. on these things because right. there's so many ethical issues mm-hmm. and moral and spiritual issues that the whole end of life conversation raises that you have to think about. And thankfully, there are some good things out there mm-hmm. That can help you think through that. Now, then there's another kind of power of attorney.
Right.
That's also important.
Right. The third document that we often do is a durable power of attorney for property. So that deals with anything that has to do with your finances, paying bills, investing money, so assets, debts, anyone who has to act on your behalf. I use this document for my mom on a regular basis because I help manage everything for her. And if the account is in her name, they're not going to talk to me or, you know, not to your spouse or to your sibling if you don't have this power of attorney.
So this is something you need while you're living.
Right.
But when you aren't able to make those decisions yourself.
And it could be that you're not able to make decisions. It could be that you just need help. My mom is perfectly capable of doing it, but I help her.
So it gives you access to that information to help her, be able to help her.
Exactly. So by definition, it's only valid during life. Once the person passes away, that document is no longer, it's, you know, null and void. So a lot of people, I run into that where people say, oh, well, so-and-so passed away and I'm their power of attorney. So, but that is a different issue. This is just a during life document. And a common example would be, let's say your husband has a retirement account and that is a contract with him individually. Even though you're the spouse, you have no rights to that. If he is alive and incapacitated and you need to access that money to pay bills, you're not allowed to actually do that. If you call an advisor and say, hey, I need this monthly distribution out because I need to pay my bills, that actually is something that cannot happen without a power of attorney or court intervention. So that's a really important document to have. And it can be basic help. It can be something much more important depending upon the circumstances.
Karen, you were traveling not too long ago and you ran into you met somebody who kind of in a humorous way showed what happens if you don't have this stuff in place.
Well, I was on a family trip in Germany and we ran into a feisty German lady who just was very endearing. But what we found out was that she was a recent widow and she invited us into her home for cake and coffee. And as we walked into her house, I noticed a lot of clear bags that were just filled with papers. And she apologized all over the place for these clear bags. And she said, I'm so sorry, but this is just 1 week's worth of purging my husband's files. And so she was working through all the paperwork, all the administrative things. And in the process of talking to her, I never said to her that I was a recent widow as well. I was just part of a group and we were listening and she was entertaining us in her home. She began to talk about her husband being in a hospital and as he went in, he said, just make sure, Etta, that you never allow me to be hooked up to any machine that would save my life. And she, in her feistiness, said, I can't do that because you have never given me the power of attorney or the advance directive. I have never been able to get you to sign anything that gives me that control.
So you're going to be on your
own.
She
said, it's out of my hands. As soon as you walk into the hospital, it's out of my hands. Unless he was willing to sign a piece of paper that gave her that control.
Wow.
So it just...
So she was trying to help him understand how important that was.
You know, to me, I was pondering this whole process of all the things that, you know, I was trying to understand and learning about, you know, what it takes as a widow to move forward and be prepared to carry on. And it was one of those confirmations that, my goodness, this conversation is not only needed in West Michigan, it's needed all over the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, my heart went out to Etta and to what she was going through.
And now your situation has changed. Mm-hmm. So now you need to be reevaluating and rethinking some of these things yourself. So when you and Scott were both living, you had certain things in place.
It was,
but
exactly.
Now as a widow, you need some of those things in place in a little different way than you did before.
Yep. There are still things on my checklist.
She has
and
a checklist.
Especially as I listen to Lisa and Andrea, I'm like, oh yeah, I got to go back and do that.
Yeah.
I'm doing the same thing. My season of life has changed, going from single to married. And Robert was married and then widowed and then remarried. And so we've got some new things on our checklist.
Yeah, it changes everything. It is important, too, I should note that in Michigan, we do have a statute that says if you don't have a healthcare power in place, who gets to make those decisions if you can't? You know, there's an order of priority, spouse, you know.
Automatically, that kicks in?
Yeah. But that is something that you know, if, let's say you're at the adult children level, and you have five adult children, you know, so it creates sometimes more problems. It's much better to have that document that you can point to and say, we value everyone's opinion here. We're going to have this discussion, but at the end of the day, here's this person who's going to have to make the call, as opposed to getting input from multiple people who come from it, from their own life experiences and thought process.
And that may be a hard decision to make right now or to communicate, but less hard than trying to figure it out when you're under the pressure of an incapacitated older parent and the families, especially with so much brokenness in families and blended families.
Right.
And who does what, who decides what. This can be the scene of a lot of contention.
Right.
If there hasn't been some thought given
Absolutely.
To it. So avoiding it now,
you're
going to have to deal with it later when it's harder.
Right. It is absolutely a gift to your families to have these documents in place. It just is a gift.
Yeah, when I'm thinking about planning, you know, the finances and all of that, planning for where money goes is so important. But for me, and I know for Andrea when we discuss this too, that stewardship portion and that taking care of your family and that family unit and preserving that relationship, those are the two paramount things that you're really trying to do. And that's why it's such a gift to do it.
So where we can minimize issues, where we can minimize
this chaos, right?
The chaos, that word we keep talking about, it just benefits the family. It benefits the community even.
It does. It does. And it's a great starting point to talk with your kids or your family or whoever, maybe about charitable giving and, you know, living life with an open hand so that money doesn't control you, and talking about medical decisions and thoughts about death. And it just really makes it so much more palatable when the time comes. I think when you know with confidence, I honor this person's desires and I know how they felt about it. Because even sometimes you still have those things you can't foresee where you think, am I making the right decision? And so if you're starting from, you know, with no information, without that gift of here's what I want, when it comes to healthcare, it just makes those decisions so much harder. And people struggle with making those decisions without having that. So we should all be talking with people we love about what we want and what they want and making that easier for everyone to discuss, because it will come.
And talking with the Lord about it.
Yes, praying about
it. You know, thank God we have a Savior and a Father and a Shepherd who cares about these things. He doesn't just care about our eternal life and our salvation of our souls. We are not disembodied spirits. We live in physical bodies that have been given to us by God. The Holy Spirit lives in these bodies. So what happens to them matters to Him.
Right.
And this is not an unspiritual thing. I think we think, you know, like the stuff I do that's ministry or the stuff I do that is serving others, that's spiritual. But this stuff is unspiritual. This is not unspiritual. This is part of our, we keep using that word stewardship, being good caretakers of what God has entrusted us, be it little or much.
Right.
Relatively speaking, and also caring for our families well. And I'm thinking about how those patriarchs, you use that term, and matriarchs, the older generation, how as they do this well, now we're becoming those matriarchs sitting around this table. It used to be them, now it's us.
How did that happen?
And as we do this well, this is not only a gift we give our families, it's hugely that, but it's also a model and an example we set for the next generation, those coming behind us, about what matters, about what we value, about what God values, about how we look to Him for wisdom, about how we seek to make decisions that will honor Him. They need to see us not just existing from day to day, surviving, floating through life, but being intentional. Maybe that's the word I'm wanting. Being intentional about every part of our lives and wanting to do things in a way that is orderly, that is in the best interest of our family, This right. is a way we love them well, and it's a way we speak truth into the next generation that's for the good of their souls and their families as well. Well, we're going to pick up this conversation one more day when we come back and just maybe tie a ribbon on some of this and talk about a couple of areas that we haven't touched on as much. And I know this has been encouraging for me. It's been challenging for me. Robert and I have a lot to talk about. In fact, I wish he could have been here today for this discussion, but he'll be listening to it and we'll be talking about it because there's some areas that we just need to be more intentional about. And Karen, you have challenged me watching you and Scott go through this to, you're younger than I am. And
not by much.
But you know, you can think this doesn't happen till later. And it may be a long time from now, but it may not be. Right. So let's be prepared and preparing others around us for the ability to carry on when God has us in a place where we can't or where we've gone on to heaven.
Thank
be sure
you.
And join us for the next conversation here on Revive Our Hearts.
That's Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth. She's been talking to Lisa Hagenauer, Andrea Karsten, and Karen Melby about why it's important to have a plan for your future. Does this conversation make you realize it's time to put your own finances in order? We know the process can be daunting, but you can do it. As you're making your plan, don't neglect the important area of giving. If there are ministries that have benefited your life, supporting them could be an important part of your legacy. There are some tax benefits for giving, and to help you think it through, we're giving you an online tool called My Legacy Planner. It's a quick and easy way to assess your current situation and see how giving would affect your estate. It's free, confidential, and takes less than 10 minutes to complete. To access this resource, visit reviveourhearts.com. We'll include a link on today's transcript. And when you support Revive Our Hearts this week with a gift of any size, we'll send you a book by a former guest on Revive Our Hearts, Margaret Nyman. It's called Hope for an Aching Heart, and it's a devotional for widows. We'll send it as a way to say thanks when you donate any amount to Revive Our Hearts. Ask for Hope for an Aching Heart when you call with your gift at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit reviveourhearts.com. We're called to be good stewards of what God has given us, but it's important to step back and look at the big picture in order to know why that's the case. Please be back tomorrow for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth wants you to know how to be prepared to carry on. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.